I'm Inez de la Quatera. With Israel pressing its war against Hamas, some kind of progress is apparently being made on a deal to free more hostages.
Negotiators are reportedly closer to an agreement with Hamas to release 50 hostages in exchange for Israel allowing more aid into Gaza. The number of hostages to be released and the length of the ceasefire that would be imposed are still being negotiated.
ABC's Liz Landers in Washington. Today marks the beginning of 3 days of celebrating the life of former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who shrugged off her mortal coil on Sunday at the family home in Plains, Georgia. She was 96. She advocated for human rights worldwide and was a champion for mental health. Amidst increasing poverty and skyrocketing inflation, voters in Argentina elected right-wing populist Javier Milei as the country's next president. He's promising a dramatic shakeup. In Los Angeles, a stretch of I-10 feeding downtown closed since a fire last weekend has reopened. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak plans to double its service from the Twin Cities through Wisconsin to Chicago. Starting next year, Amtrak will add a second daily round trip. Federal and state agencies and the railroads are working out the details. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's pleased with the progress made in the 2 years since the bipartisan federal infrastructure law was passed. In particular, she says all lead water pipes in Wisconsin are being replaced.
We're expecting to almost double the rate at which lead pipes are removed just in the next few years. And it's an example, again, of just a win-win-win for people who turn on their faucet. They want to know that their water is safe and clean.
Baldwin says rural Wisconsin is also benefiting from new high-speed internet. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Wizards tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks travel east to play the Washington Wizards tonight at the Capital One Arena. The Bucks put away the Mavericks Saturday night, 132-125. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers keep their bowl game dreams alive after an overtime thriller, 24-17 against Nebraska. Wisconsin faces Minnesota in the Twin Cities Saturday afternoon. NFL, the Packers with a 23-20 victory over the Chargers in a hard-fought game. Both Packers running backs Aaron Jones and Emmanuel Wilson going down to injuries. And it's a short week. Green Bay plays the Lions Thursday in an NFL Classic game on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit. Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, we got a really quick turnaround, so we'll take the day to enjoy it. But, yeah, this is going to be a tight turnaround for this week, seeing the Lions. So it's definitely a week that we got to just focus on getting our bodies back and studying up on the Lions again.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. 43 today, under overcast skies, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 32. High of 39 tomorrow, partly cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 38.
Timeout.
All right, remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Mornings from 6 to 10, The Zone. For all of you that had your first date riding around a field in a tractor cab, this is the Midwest Farm Report.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Monday, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. My gosh, what a fabulous weekend in terms of weather. I have no complaints about the sunshine and balmy temperatures. And from what I saw on social media, yesterday was a perfect day at Lambeau Field that included a Packers win over the Chargers. And Saturday was really nice for opening weekend of the gun deer hunt. I really enjoyed all the pictures of a successful hunt. I know that if you are filling your tags, then my chances of bagging one with my car are a lot lower. So thank you, hunters, and I wish you a successful week. This week will be shorter with Thanksgiving on Thursday. You know, I've already started to do some reflection on all that there is to be thankful for, and I hope that you also take some time to give thanks as we move into the holiday season. And speaking of things to be thankful for, it sounds like rain is on the way in this week's forecast. We'll talk about it with Stu Muck in just a little bit. I know that moisture is still needed this fall. Later in the hour, we hear from a Purina nutritionist who says we should not be taking the dairy beef cross market for granted. He tells us why it's important to secure that market with quality animals before the beef herd rebuilds. And finally, how much does a farmer really need to retire? We talk about it all right here.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You're grateful for all the ways technology can connect us. Unfortunately, there are online scammers who want to take advantage. Malicious viruses, phishing scams, and identity theft are more prevalent than ever. That's why Rural Mutual includes cybersecurity protection as an option on every policy.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Protovate Nutritional Seed Enhancer is an 80-20 talc graphite replacement that provides the critical nutrients corn and soybeans need for early and uniform emergence. Learn more at GetGreaterGrowth.com.
You can hear the corn grow. You can smell healthy soil after a good rain. And you know when your livestock are healthy and when they're not. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's productivity and profitability as much as you do. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, founder of BioVet. Microbials and nutritional support, that's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Just south of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire is the world's largest grower and processor of horseradish, Hunsinger Farm, Silver Springs Garden. Eric Rigg is the president and CEO of Hunsinger Farms, a multi-generational operation. We talked to Eric shortly after he hosted the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, Michael Regan, to see what sustainable agriculture practices Hunsinger Farms has put on the land for their horseradish operation. Eric told us that over the years, they put more and more of those practices on the land, and they have also shown those to many people and many groups. It all helps preparing for when a cabinet member comes to the farm.
I think all those events really helped set us up for doing something like this. It was relatively on short notice. Their interest in us was really in regards to our sustainability practices that have been so important for us for generations. We're really leaning into that with our solar investment, with our wash water retention pond investment, with the rotation crops that we're doing. We're leaning into cover cropping. We're looking at regenerative agriculture. We're looking into that precision agriculture. How can we leverage technology to get more out of the fields with less work?
We're going to talk a little bit about that as we go on. But as far as this year's crop, farmers are scrambling to get their soybeans and their corn off the ground, off the land. What about the horseradish? Where are we here as we're into November?
So we had a little bit of a panic attack when we had that early snow. We had about 3 weeks of work at that point, and we weren't sure we had 3 weeks worth of time left. Fortunately, The weather here in Wisconsin cooperated, and we're just about to finish up our harvest. It got a little bit drier. We were able to break through some of those cold nights where there was just a bit of a crust on the soil. Our harvester was able to break through that and still get some of the horseradish out of the ground. And as important as a harvest for us is, if you remember, we have to go back out and plant. So we got all the planting done that we were expecting. We're just about finished to fill up our upper cooler with horseradish and getting ourselves ready for the winter processing, the high season.
Eric, corn farmers, soybean farmers, they talk to each other. One of their first questions, how did it yield? Is that a conversation you have with the horseradish industry?
Absolutely. Yield is essential. So we've actually downsized our total acres over the last year and a half, but we still need all that horseradish. So the focus on our farm team is to look at plant health and yield. We need to get more out of the land with less land, and mm-hmm. we still need all that horseradish. So that's where we've really been leaning into some of these cover cropping and biologicals and looking at the impaction in the soil and making sure we're doing everything we can so that horseradish has a good flavor, good quality, but also a good yield. Another thing we're doing is leaving it in the ground a little bit longer. Typically, we've been 12 months from set to harvest. We're now pushing it into 18 months, even into 2 years. And what we're finding is we're getting a little better yield when we leave it on the ground a little bit longer, and we're getting a little more heat development. So if we can manage it to leave it in the ground a little bit longer, it does tend to bulk up a little bit in those extras, if we have an extra 6 months or an extra 12 months even, to get a better yield per acre on horseradish. And we're seeing that. We're seeing the trend in our yields in horseradish improve over the last couple of years, and we're hoping for a good yield this year.
And as we look at cultural practices, disease challenges, weed challenges, and corn, you can go to every seed company and find new genetics. What about in horseradish?
Nope, we're still using the same big top Western variety we've been using for a long time. It's just a matter of managing the resources and the rotation better, understanding what the crop needs, what nutrients it needs, and so getting the mix right so that the plant has access to the nutrients it needs when it needs it is a key part of our focus. And we got a new technology to look at that. We can do the soil samples, we can look at flying the drones over the fields, we can look at the impact of some of the cover cropping and impaction on yield, because we can measure all that now with the technology is just tremendous. So I think there's some good things to come. We made those big investments on the farm as well with the new facilities, and that really set us up for the next 50 years to really lean into plant health, regenerative agriculture, and better yields.
Let's talk some about that, not the facilities, but your sustainability. You mentioned the solar, the retention pond, the cover crops. How much has that helped, and what kind of an investment was that for you, or was it a no-brainer?
So I think the way to think about those investments is the time frame. And it was notable today from the speakers that these practices that we're putting into place can have a longer return. The solar investment for us is going to be a 5 or 6 year return on that money. In the factory, we can buy a new piece of equipment and try to get a 6 month return on it. So there are choices we have to make. The reason why we're making these longer term choices that do indeed have an economic impact for us, once we get to that 5 years, then we're in the gravy. The system will last for 30 years. The water retention pond, how can we preserve that water? These cover cropping, how can we get a better yield with fewer passes across the land? So that's less impaction, that's less fuel, that's less labor, that's less wear and tear on the equipment, using less fertilizer, just, you know, tap into the nutrient bank we already have existing there. So using that understanding to get that better yield will take a longer time to get that return, but over time, we'll get there, and we're really setting ourselves up for the next generation. You know, how can we leave the company, our soil, our land in better shape for the next generation than when we found it? So we're just carrying on the traditions that my grandfather and great-grandfather started. We're just applying new technology, new knowledge to be able to continue to extend that for the long term.
The water retention pond, you go by most big farms and their dairies, and it's a manure lagoon. but this is a water retention pond. How do you use that? How big is it? And how many times do you recycle that water for your needs?
So the reason why we put that in is because we use a lot of water to clean the horseradish. We'll pull it out of the ground, we put it in the cold storage. It sits there in the coolers until we're ready to grind it at the facility. Before we do that, we got to wash it. So it runs through this washing cycle. So instead of just letting that water go to waste and dumping that out, we built this wash water retention pond to recapture that water and reuse it. So the size is about 6 to 8 million gallons of water that it can hold. And that's about what we are using on an annual basis, which is a lot of water, to wash the horseradish. So instead of wasting it, we can now pump that water back out through our irrigation system and water the crops, whatever the rotation crop is that year, whether it's corn, soybeans, or maybe even horseradish. And then we'll separate the liquid from the solid. The solid portion of it we'll haul up, and it'll be a great soil that we're able to spread out in the field with all those nutrients in it.
How do you use cover crops? Because you mentioned you keep the crop in the ground 12 months, maybe even up to 2 years now. Corn farmers will go in, and then they'll go in the spring, kill it off. How do you use cover crops, and how do they work for you with horseradish?
So what we're using, or what's working for us, and this is relatively new for us, we're starting to implement cover cropping because we're seeing the benefits of it. The idea is that you cover the land so it's never just open, and you're able to get access to those nutrients that are deeper in the soil and bring that to the surface to make more access. It also crowds out weeds, and it's better for moisture retention. So all that kind of biodiversity helps the soil retain moisture, which again, we have to use less water then. So this is conservation. And so rye is what we've been using for winter rye. So we'll cover over the winter before we go back in with corn, soybeans, oats, alfalfa, whatever our rotation is, or horseradish. So that's what we're using. I know there are other cover crops. It probably depends on the farmer and their soil and what they're doing with it. But the winter rye has been where we're starting, and we're seeing some benefits so far. It will take some time for all those benefits to materialize.
Season's about over. Time to go skiing.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait for a little snow. Now that we're almost done with harvest, ready to put the skis on and hit the slopes.
Eric Rigg over here at Hunsinger Farms, Silver Spring Garden, world's largest grower processor of horseradish, hosting the EPA administrator on the farm. I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
And auto shops in the area.
Tom and Tom of Tom's Auto Center.
With 12 bays and a lively group of highly skilled mechanics, we're able to do just that.
Tom'sAutoCenter.com.
Tom's Auto Center.
Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
If your conversations always start with the weather, welcome to the Midwest Farm Report.
And we've got some action in the sky to talk about today. Again, if you want to tell us what you're seeing in your neck of the woods in terms of weather, field work, or anything else, send us a text at 877-301-FARM. Again, that's 877-301-3276. It's time now for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, what do you have for us today? Some moisture, I believe, right?
It's trying to build on, and you're absolutely right, Stephanie. I mean, you look at the radar this morning, and you see rain in far southwest Wisconsin and back into northeast Iowa. A little heavier rain down in Missouri. The low-pressure system, the center of the activity bringing this rain, is way down in Oklahoma. Man, that's a long way off, isn't it? But it is spreading moisture right up along the Mississippi through Missouri and Iowa and into far southwest Wisconsin. That low end of the day tomorrow will head over to the Ohio Valley, around over to Ohio, in fact. So as it sweeps around southern Wisconsin, we will get some rain chance. I'd say Madison may see a little shower yet here a bit later today. The rest of us could very well hold off until it gets dark again later this afternoon before we see scattered rain. Some rain chance lingers then through the night and may still be around into early tomorrow in eastern Wisconsin. In the west, not so much. I think if we see it by late today or tonight, it ends already late tonight. May linger in the east a bit yet early tomorrow. Not going to measure up to all that much. A couple of tenths of an inch, and that should be about the extent, you know, trace amounts in your quarter. That's really all we expect out of this, and the system begins to clear on out. Temperatures don't change a great deal. They'll be a little cooler, closer to normal today, and stay that way then right on through Tuesday and Wednesday in the low and mid-40s. That's just about normal, or a couple of degrees above. That's just how it's going to work out as we make our way right on through midweek. Cooler air does begin to settle in, though, and as we look on toward Thanksgiving Day, Thursday and Friday, those temps start to fall back to a little cooler than normal. In fact, by Friday and the upcoming weekend, I've got to look that far to get the cool air, and that's where mid-30s look to be a little more likely. That is cooler than normal, somewhere like 5 or 6 degrees below normal when we make it to that time. Otherwise, the only chance of precipitation is really what we're looking at this morning to our southwest and what may build in toward late today or on into the nighttime. Otherwise, a pretty dry week's going to be in store. Just not all that wonderful. Temperatures a lot more like normal and cooler than as we head to the end of the week. Sounds like November weather really is going to settle on in. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
You'd never settle for underperformance. You'd never settle for less than maximum yield. You'd never settle for gaps in the stand. So why settle for anything less than DeKalb corn? DeKalb seed is for those who make outstanding performance a priority, with a broad portfolio of products bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand corn. Never settle. Visit DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Stu, I know you said that the rain that we'll likely see today, this morning, and later on isn't going to measure up to anything too great, but is it enough to delay field work? I know we've got some dry weather coming up, so is that going to dry out quickly? Are folks going to be delayed as they work to get the rest of their crop off the ground?
Well, it really depends on the field, Stephanie, but I would expect, you know, if we see a tenth of an inch or two, yeah, that will probably slow us down for a day. The drying not as fast as it should be or we'd like it to be at this time of the year. You know, we have those days with more clouds and the amount of sunlight isn't all that long. Things just don't quite dry up as quickly as we'd like, and that's going to be a battle now, especially as we head through this week and as we get that cooler air trying to build in as we head on toward the weekend as well. But our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast does call for more of a cloudy day today, and some rain developing by late today at La Crosse, Madison, maybe Moss, and getting some yet late today. Temps up in the mid-40s, 46 or 47, our warm spot. East winds will be around 5 to 15. Cloudy skies and rain tonight ending from the west. Skies may even clear in the west late tonight. We'll drop to the mid-30s, and the east winds will be around 5 to 15. Tomorrow, maybe still some rain chance in the south and east, and morning clouds thin out a bit, becoming more sunny from west to east. Temps in the mid-40s, not a big change. Northwest winds, though, 5 to 15, gusting to 25. And even Wednesday, sunny skies, still trying to be in the mid-40s, Stephanie. But then it starts to cool off, and we could very well be looking at 30s for the end of the week.
You know, I'm happy about the cooler temperatures for the sake of our deer hunters when, you know, I hope they have nice weather. But at the same time, you don't want that deer to be sitting out in the warm temperatures for too long, huh?
Yeah, how long do you let that thing hang when it's still going to be 45 degrees the next couple of days? You got to move quick.
We'll catch back up with you again tomorrow, Stu. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. You can visit compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. With Israel pressing its war against Hamas, some kind of progress is apparently being made on a deal to free more hostages.
Negotiators are reportedly closer to an agreement with Hamas to release 50 hostages in exchange for Israel allowing more aid into Gaza. The number of hostages to be released and the length of the ceasefire that would be imposed are still being negotiated.
ABC's Liz Landers in Washington. Today marks the beginning of 3 days of celebrating the life of former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who shrugged off her mortal coil on Sunday at the family home in Plains, Georgia. She was 96. She advocated for human rights worldwide and was a champion for mental health. Amidst increasing poverty and skyrocketing inflation, voters in Argentina elected right-wing populist Javier Milei as the country's next president. He's promising a dramatic shakeup. In Los Angeles, a stretch of I-10 feeding downtown closed since a fire last weekend has reopened. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak plans to double its service from the Twin Cities through Wisconsin to Chicago. Starting next year, Amtrak will add a second daily round trip. Federal and state agencies and the railroads are working out the details. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's pleased with the progress made in the 2 years since the bipartisan federal infrastructure law was passed. In particular, she says all lead water pipes in Wisconsin are being replaced.
We're expecting to almost double the rate at which lead pipes are removed just in the next few years. And it's an example, again, of just a win-win-win for people who turn on the faucet. They want to know that their water is safe and clean.
Baldwin says rural Wisconsin is also benefiting from new high-speed internet. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Wizards tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks travel east to play the Washington Wizards tonight at the Capital One Arena. The Bucks put away the Mavericks Saturday night, 132-125. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers keep their bowl game dreams alive after an overtime thriller, 24-17 against Nebraska. Wisconsin faces Minnesota in the Twin Cities Saturday afternoon. NFL, the Packers with a 23-20 victory over the Chargers in a hard-fought game. Both Packers running backs Aaron Jones and Emmanuel Wilson going down to injuries. And it's a short week. Green Bay plays the Lions Thursday in an NFL Classic game on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit. Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, we got a really quick turnaround, so we'll take the day to enjoy it, but yeah, this is going to be a tight turnaround for this week, seeing the Lions. So it's definitely a week that we got to just focus on getting our bodies back and studying up on the Lions again.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM.
Here's your updated forecast. 43 today, under overcast skies, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 32. High of 39 tomorrow, partly cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 37.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Now, I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of seven women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Really, actually.
Been in a good mood today?
No,
give me the Brewers World Series.
Bringing home the bacon. Literally. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yockey. If you're just joining us this morning, here's a recap of our forecast. A few showers this morning with overcast skies during the afternoon hours. We'll see highs of 46 degrees and winds moving at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Those rain showers early become steady light rain overnight. We'll be seeing lows of 36 degrees in the later hours. You can re-listen to this forecast, to the news stories, to the whole show at MidwestFarmReport.com. Our podcast page is home to the archive copies of the Midwest Farm Report. Today's show will be up later this morning. Beef on dairy. It's something that farmers have been interested in for a few years now, and it's only gaining momentum. Tom Earlywine along with us. He jokes that feeding calves was his first job as a little boy on the farm, and he continues to do that today as the Director of Nutritional Services with Purina Feed. Tom tells me that the industry is in a critical time right now where it needs to be providing the best animals in order to secure a market before the beef herd comes back. He tells us when he saw the beef on dairy cross phenomenon really kick into high gear and how nutrition plays a role in providing a quality animal.
About 6 years ago when it started to gain more traction, and it really has gone crazy in the last 2 or 3 years. Once people recognized that the beef cow-calf herd was down because of recent droughts. And so with the beef cow-calf herd being down, the beef supply was down. So what can we do to provide more beef and better beef? Not only more, but better beef. It was about 19% of the market was dairy animals were provided for beef. Today, it's closer to 23% because of just the reduction in cow-calf numbers, but also because of this increase with beef crosses.
And do you think that's going to continue for like well into the future, or is this just a cure for low milk prices or just taking advantage of the beef market?
The next two years will be the kind of the set the stage, so to speak, for the future. And the reason for that is simply because the next 2 to 3 years, the cow-calf herd will gradually rebuild. And so the beef cow-calf guys will be able to provide more beef in the next 2 to 3 years. What's really why this is such a key, crucial point in time right now is because there is such high demand, but also we're setting ourselves up for or either success once that cow-calf herd comes back as dairy producers and providing some of the beef market and maintaining part of that, or for failure from the standpoint we didn't provide the proper animal, didn't provide the best animal that they could be provided in the marketplace.
And Purina has been on top of the trend since you first saw it take off about 5 or 6 years ago. Tell me about the research you're putting in to crossbred beef on dairy in regards to nutrition.
About five, six years ago, we started buying more and more of the crossbreds, and now today, most everything we do research on is crossbred dairy animals. And in the process of doing that, we got a chance to not only compare them to the Holstein, straight Holstein steers, but also compare between breeds and beef animals as well. And then, of course, do our nutrition research. And what we found, and this is the most exciting part about it, was over time as we did it, that there were a number of things that these animals responded really well to. They're really good at growing muscle. And so in spite of their Holstein genetics or their Jersey genetics, once you breed them to a beef breed, the beef breed genetics start to take over and really help produce a lot of muscle if you allow them to get to that potential. And so what we found in the calves is that if you fed them enough nutrition, the traditional dairy Holstein steer calf was fed 2 quarts twice a day. If you fed them at least 3 quarts twice a day, for example, to start with, and if that at least had 27% protein in that 3 quarts twice a day, more like mom's milk, some of those things, that those animals will respond with a tremendous amount of muscle growth to the point where we've even taken ultrasounds of these babies and found that they actually already started out with a bigger ribeye area because we'd provided them more nutrition. They also start out with a healthier gut because we provided them more nutrition. But the hybrid vigor in these calves, plus combined with their beef genetics, if you allow them to grow to their potential, in other words, provide enough protein and energy, they really perform.
Have you narrowed down the critical stage of when these nutrients are their most vital?
Yeah, the neat thing is the beef guys, I always love to say this just to compliment the beef folks side of things, is they recognized a long time ago that there's fetal imprinting. What does that mean? That means that what they do with that calf developing in the cow, while it's still in the cow, there are some things that they can do feeding-wise and nutrition-wise, management-wise, that'll actually affect that calf. And if you think about it, the plasticity, so to speak, the ability to affect that young animal is the greatest in utero. And then after it's born, it's still high. You can still influence it. And every day after it's born, it gradually decreases to the point, usually about puberty, you're getting to the point where it's almost too late. It's hard to change a lot of things in those animals at that point. And so the younger the calf, so you think about the newborn, colostrum and colostrum management, obviously doing the best job you can with a newborn there. But then after that, and this is a big difference in the dairy model of raising calves versus the way a beef calf would be raised. It'd be raised on mom, right? And so it's going to drink maybe 3 gallons a day. Typically, they've actually research proven that they'll drink 3 gallons a day. We typically fed these dairy calves a gallon or a gallon and a half. So not enough. So that was part of it. And then the beef calf would normally be weaned at 4 to 6 months of age. We typically wean at 2 months of age, thereabouts. So about half the time on milk as well. And so we have to work hard to make up for those challenges. And one of them is easy. You just feed them better. But the other one is the weaning age. And so giving them enough time through weaning, allowing the gut to develop, allowing the immune system to develop, we can do it in the young calf. The longer you wait to try to do it and say, oh, I'll make up for it later, it's impossible on a young calf to do that. They will already be set at that point. And they found the same thing is true with heifers, that if we don't allow for maximum mammary development at an early age, we will be behind the eight ball. We will never get that animal to the same level that it was before. And feedlots in particular are looking for a very feed-efficient animal. And the best way we can create the most feed-efficient animal is to start earlier in life. The earlier in life you can change things and influence and have these improvements, have proper nutrition, the proper management of those calves, they will perform better later. And if we want to maintain our beef market of raising these crossbreds, we need to provide the best animal to that feedlot today so that they don't lose that market when the beef herd comes back.
You heard it from Tom Earlywine. He's the Director of Nutritional Services with Purina Feed, and they're researching the best nutritional management for dairy beef cross calves to make sure farmers are sending their best animals to market. Stick around for a look at commodity prices coming up next.
Always up early, always getting the job done, always working as hard as you can, always pushing for more, because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand, never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Wisconsin FFA is benefiting from a recent donation. The CHS Foundation recently gave more than $4 million to the National FFA organization. Wisconsin FFA Foundation got nearly $23,000 of that sum. The money will help cover student travel to conferences and contests. It'll also help schools attract ag teachers. In other news, the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association will host the 2024 Winter Institute and Maple Vendor Trade Show on January 5th and 6th in Marshfield. The event is open to the public and features classes for beginners in maple syrup production. You can learn more and register at WIS maple.org. Markets are mixed on a Monday morning from Chicago. December corn is up a penny and a half, trading at 468 and a half. January soybeans are up a nickel at 1345 and a quarter. Cash wheat is down a quarter of a cent at 550 and a half. And July 2024 new crop wheat is also down a quarter of a cent at 605 and a half. The World Championship Cheese Contest is featuring some new classes in March 2024. For the first time in history, the contest will judge raclette cheese in its own class. The contest is also introducing a new class for pasteurized processed cheese products. You can learn more about the upcoming contest at worldchampioncheese.org. And speaking of cheese, Friday from Chicago, barrel cheese closed down 11 cents at $1.56. The 40-pound block cheese was unchanged from Thursday at $1.60, and AA butter fell 10¾ cents at $2.49. Currently, the December Class 3 milk contract is up a penny at $16.65 a hundredweight, and January milk is up 12 cents at $16.91. Hey, stick around, because up next, we're going to learn what it takes to retire on the farm. It's all coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree with you more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The new Corvette. You've been told no before? Join the Bergstrom Automotive family for the yes. At Bergstrom Automotive, we teach our people to take no out of the vocabulary.
Is no in your vocabulary?
No. No isn't a thing at Bergstrom Automotive. Join the Bergstrom Automotive family for the yes.
Join the Bergstrom Auto family.
Here's a crew perfectly comfortable using baler twine as a belt. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
In almost every aspect, farming is so different from your typical 9-to-5, and that includes retirement planning. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Here with us is Jared Nelson. He's an insurance agent and financial advisor with Rural Mutual Insurance. He grew up on a dairy farm in Jackson County, and he's been in the insurance business for about 25 years. He says farmers have several things to consider depending on what they want to do with the farm and with themselves when they retire. It all matters when it comes to creating your retirement budget. Jared reminds us why farmers are in such a unique situation compared to most people.
It's a good point. Our farms, the basic issue when we look at retirement is liquidity. If you have the normal 9-to-5, you know, people own their home and they might have a cabin or some hunting land. But their vast majority of their savings is liquid in the form of a 401k or retirement or bank accounts. With our farms, if we have excess capital, it's usually put into land, machinery, animals, continuing and growing the operation, and which is a good for the farm. However, it does pose some challenges because, you know, you can have a several million dollars worth of net worth, but only, $2,000 in the bank. So liquidity is our biggest concern for, you know, retirement and cash flow.
And it's not just about money either, Jared. I do want to point this out, too. When a farmer retires, it's almost like your whole mindset, your whole life really changes more so than others because you've lived most of the time where you've worked. Your whole life has been devoted to the farming operation. So that's going to be a whole change of mindset for these folks, too.
It is. There's no magic switch to turn from, getting up and doing chores and, doing the field work to now all of a sudden I don't have to. So I encourage a lot of people that are, starting into this retirement conversation, be prepared to have maybe a seasonal job. First thing I tell them to do when they retire is to go to work, but that's what these people know what to do. And it's not just to for the income part of it, but it's you need to have something to do. So whether that's a part-time or seasonal job or, travel, think about what that looks like because, like you said, it is not an easy switch to turn from working 7 days a week to not. So you need to ease into it a little bit.
What does retirement cost look like for farm families? How much do you need to retire as a farmer?
Well, that's going to differ vastly on lifestyle and hobbies. Are you going to be traveling? Are you going to be working part-time? People need to start looking at, the budget. The farm has been paying for all of the household bills, electric, and if we're not going to be doing that on the farm anymore, we just have to make a budget spreadsheet and look at what do we have for monthly expenses. Now, what do we want to do? What can we do? So it's if somebody doesn't go on a lot of trips or vacations, that's different than somebody who wants to travel 2-3 times a year. So it really varies.
If you're retirement age, I'm sure health care is going to become more top of mind than when you were younger and when you were working. Is that another added cost that folks may not be thinking about right away?
Depending on the age when they retire, if they're not eligible for the Medicare yet, then yes, private health insurance is a concern. And depending on several income factors, that can be a very expensive undertaking that a lot of times people aren't considering, especially if they might have had a spouse working off the farm that had the benefits, and if they both retire, well then that's an additional expense that can be quite a shock to people if they don't get out in front of it and plan for it.
And just like every farm is unique, so is going to be that next phase for their farm. Retirement might mean liquidating assets and selling the farm. It could be renting it out or transitioning it to the next generation. So what are some of the key points when it comes to retirement planning that are going to correlate with these different options?
Sure. So if we have a continuation plan, and this is really the same for the next generation taking it over, or if the farmer wants and is able to keep their assets and just rent them to a third party, whether it's their next generation or whether it's the neighbor down the road. So one aspect is you keep the asset continues to grow in value for you, and you rent it out to the next generation. That rent then provides your retirement income when, again, whether that rent is coming from next generation or it's coming from a third party. The aspect with selling the operation and getting, a lump sum of cash, we have to take taxes into consideration there, capital gains taxes. But what you're then looking at is now you have a pot of money. Now you are liquid, and you really need to pay attention on how you invest that for the next 20, 30 years so that it can take care of your financial needs through retirement.
What's the most common route that your farm clients take when they retire?
The most common route is usually some kind of a combination. Now, again, it's really different if there's a next generation taking it over or if there's not. So with next generation taking it over, we're usually, keeping everything, and the parents are staying on in some type of capacity, drawing some type of income, and then the rental income is providing for them. In the case where they're not a next generation taking over, usually it's either sell all of the land, equipment, buildings, or they pick and choose, and some of it may make more sense to sell, and some of it makes sense to keep. And so you kind of look at each situation a little bit differently, taking into account how much do we need for retirement income. What do we want to do? Do we want to keep the land because family uses it for recreation as well as farming, or we want to, but we really can't afford to, so we need to sell it. So all of those, it's a case-by-case situation that we just have to walk through.
Jared Nelson along with us. He's an insurance agent and financial advisor with Rural Mutual Insurance, giving us some advice on what to consider, not only to make sure you have the means to live comfortably through retirement, but to transition into such a new phase in life. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for tagging along with me on a Monday. I'll catch you back here same time tomorrow.
We're getting put out to pasture for today. Back tomorrow morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Using tech to make farming more climate smart. Today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Cab to cab, season to season, there's only one way to do it all on your farm, Ag Leader It. Ag Leader offers the complete package of precision farming tools that connect your entire operation year-round. Planter, Ag Leader It. Sprayer, Ag Leader It. Combine, Ag Leader It. Farm data? You guessed it, Ag Leader It. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com for more information. The University of Georgia leads a multi-university effort to make farms more climate smart. The effort centers around the concept of 4D farming, according to principal investigator Glenn Rains.
The 4Ds is the digital and data-driven demonstration farm. One of the overall goals is to have a working farm, primarily using precision ag tools and data management tools that are commercially available, so that we can give farmers some feedback on the costs and the benefits of using those in a real, real situation.
Rain says livestock operations will be an important focus for the 4D project.
We're integrating livestock production in with our crop rotations to improve production. One way we're going to be looking at is using livestock waste to help reduce outside inputs of fertilizer, and also utilizing things like cover crops in the winter and summer crops as well to feed the cattle. Looking at increasing beneficial insect populations through the cover crops, reducing reliance on outside chemicals.
Collaborating colleges include Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College in Georgia, Clemson University in South Carolina, and Kansas State University. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Inez DeLaQuatera. Tributes continue pouring in for Rosalynn Carter, the former First Lady who was a political partner with her husband, a humanitarian, and a champion for mental health.
Her personal touch even inspired those who were assigned to protect her. The Secret Service with this tribute, your compassion, diplomacy, and penchant to make society better.